The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
As I mentioned, with all the carry-on going on around the leadership of the Liberal Party and the top job at the Lodge, we've sort of lost sight that the books are still in a bit of trouble and there's a budget that hasn't got all the way through yet. Assistant Treasurer Josh Frydenberg's on the line. Mr. Frydenberg, thanks for your time.
Nice to be with you, Justin.
On the Lindt Cafe, I thought both the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition spoke well today on that, just as an aside.
Absolutely, and with those who were touched by that tragedy in the gallery today, it was also very moving, a very moving event. And what we do on events like this is we realise that what brings us together is much more important than what separates us.
The books are still in a very bad way, and the budget is not across the line. This has been an incredible distraction. What has been happening with Tony Abbott, not for the party, but for the country. Well, tell me about the state of this budget. I mean, where is it at, and are you going to ever get this thing across the line?
Well, a couple points. Firstly, I think today's developments are at least very positive for the party in that Tony Abbott, elected Prime Minister in 2013, has been re-endorsed effectively by his party room. And, you know, people talk about the results, 61-39. Look, a lot of people had speculated it'd even be tighter than that, but I think it's quite a clear result, and it will ensure that the Prime Minister has some clear air to take budget matters and other matters forward in the next few months. In terms of the budget itself, obviously we introduced some unpopular measures in 2014. The reason being, Justin, is that Australia has a rising debt problem. It wasn't the debt created by the Coalition or John Howard or Peter Costello, because they left zero debt in 2007. It was a trajectory of $667 billion worth of debt, which Australia was set to meet in the coming years. And that means an interest bill today, which is about $1 billion a month, and rising to $3 billion a month. So that's why we needed to tighten our belts. Now, we got some of these measures through, both by legislation, also by regulation. For example, the indexation of fuel excise, we did it outside of the legislative process. But there are a number of other savings measures, more than $30 billion worth of savings measures, that are stuck in the Senate, waiting for the approval of both the crossbenchers and the Labor Party, including $5 billion worth of savings that Labor took to the last election but are now refusing
All right. So, is your suggestion here that the crossbenchers have still got this wrong, that they should just side with you right now and let everything pass? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that we need to negotiate with them successfully, like we did on other issues like the carbon tax and the mining tax and the temporary protection visas, where we did get a very constructive and productive outcome.
Yeah.
In terms of the Medicare co-payment, the Prime Minister has said to the party room today and also publicly is that there won't be any major changes in this space without the support of the medical profession, because they're such key stakeholders and there's no doubt they were caught by surprise last time. In terms of the higher education reforms, we are very determined to proceed with them. They have the support of 38 of 39 universities, and they are important.
Doesn't have the support of people going to universities, Josh, does it?
Well, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to benefit from this, including the fact that no student pays back a dollar of their HECS or their help loan until they've earned more than $50,000. Now, 80% of students pay it back, 20% of students don't pay it back. So we have to understand actually what we're talking about here, which is giving the university the flexibility in a marketplace to, you know, fund their infrastructure, to fund smaller class sizes, and to fund better research.
Will you be, just on, I think, the Medicare thing, if I can just pull you back to that, are you willing to let that go, drop it, gone?
Well, Susan Lee is going back to talk to the key stakeholders, and clearly... I don't want to preempt her announcements, Justin, or indeed her discussions. So we've, I think, learned some very good lessons from our last budget, and particularly the experience of the Medicare co-payment, and let's just see where that goes.
All right, so if the AMA says drop it, you'll drop it?
What we're saying is we need the support of key professional bodies like the AMA before any significant changes will be made.
All right, okay, so where to now? What is the next move? You're going to go to you're going to push through with higher education, you're going to consult the industry on Medicare. What else is going to be the big hurdle for you?
Well, infrastructure continues to be a big focus for us. We announced over $50 billion worth of spending in the last budget, including an asset recycling plan, which incentivizes state governments like the New South Wales state government to sell some of their infrastructure and then reinvest in new infrastructure. So we're hoping, you know, that to become a reality. We're talking about workplace relations, but particularly the Australian Building and Construction Commission, which was really an effective cop on the beat in preventing lawlessness in the construction industry. That was abolished under the Labor Party, and we want to reintroduce it because it came out of the Cole Royal Commission. We're promising a tax cut for small business and an overall jobs package. I mean, the message I want to leave with your listeners is that the Australian economy is strong. I mean, we're creating 600 new jobs every day. That's three times faster than under Labor. And housing starts are very much up. Business registrations are very much up. Consumer confidence is up. And, of course, with the interest rate cut and the lower oil prices and lower electricity prices, that's all good news for the household budget. But at the same time, Justin, when you look around the world, in Europe, in Japan, in China, there is a slowdown. And that's affecting us here at home, and that's why we've got to deal with the debt problem before it's too late.
It's been a long day for you. I appreciate your time, Josh. Thank you.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.